Good day. How are you doing? First of all, I want to apologize for my friend Michael not being able to make it today. He's my research assistant in the work we've been doing for 12 years. The first thing I want to say is that the time we spent about myself about 12 years researching what's out there in the waters off of Cape Breton and the effects it's going to have on us and having on us right now. And the people we talk to is primarily fishermen, retired military personnel, etc., from all over the Atlantic region. Our funding comes from us, and a few friends give us a bit of money, and my kid does a show and a play every so often. That's how we're funded. We got about maybe 10,000 documents so far collected on the issue. Just what the lady was just talking about just now, I have a petition in with the Auditor General of Canada. It's called Petition 50B, and it's quite interesting. I'm going to read you something. It just came back from National Defense June 30th, and it says the department in collaboration with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police have established a joint nuclear biological chemical response company, which mandate includes addressing certain chemical, biological and radioactive and nuclear events in this country. So shit is hitting the fan. We had a very interesting issue, and this bugs me, this information, is that we have no information, not disinformation, none. Back in 2002, I went to Scotland to go to a forum on chemical and biological agents. And in the airport, I noticed that there was a bunch of lads there, and they all looked like military. So I got phoning up all the media here in Halifax, and nobody knew what they were doing here or anything else. On my way there, they sat with me on the plane to Britain, and I got talking to them, and they were working for NATO. The London Convention met here in Halifax in 2002, in October, and they were discussing the nuclear problem we have out there and the depleted uranium we have on the Scotian shelf. Department of Fishery and Oceans, in the same document from National Defense, I petitioned seven different ministries. And the petition process is very interesting because they have to, by law, reply to you in 144 days. The first petition we put in was in 2000. We would not or 2002. We would not accept the answers, and we wrote back to the Auditor General and told her that the answers were totally too juvenile, and that all ministries were completely delinquent in their responsibilities under their acts to address the issue. So we readdressed the issue again and put Petition 50B in, and in this time we also petitioned Department of Justice. And with petitioning the Department of Justice, because of the fact that all these dumps, we have 1,200 military dumps off our coast here alone in Atlantic Canada, which in my personal view is quite astounding. Off here, we're allowing oil and gas exploration activities to go on in an area that's laden full of dump sites. Now, where you're sitting here, all of you in the room, think 30 miles from here, and that's the size of some of the dumps off where I live in Cape Breton. The Bredore Lakes, we have our First Nations community here, and the Bredore Lakes have two massive military dumps in them, one over in an area towards Bullendry and one over by, and that was a naval one, off of our up from Point Edward. Canada was the largest producer of mustard gas on the planet during the Second World War. We also produced a lot of chemical biological agents of all kinds. It's quite ridiculous to read the documentation. Our mustard gas, we get the thumbs up for having the best mustard gas on the planet after they check the rest. And we produced with the British and the Americans. They were allies, and we all did it together as a bunch of little nomads, and we done it here in Canada. The Brits didn't want to do it in Britain, and the Americans didn't. They did some in America, but most of it was done here in Sheffield, and the major production facility was in Cornwall. Now, we've been trying for 12 years. I've been trying to get the media interested in it, and yes, the last 4 years they've been kind of good, and we got about 40 or 50 media coverages on it, and they have been quite good. Before that, you couldn't talk to them, they wouldn't discuss it with you. The fact that the misinformation is coming from, I am totally annoyed that the nobody actually in this country is actually looking at it. Our environmental groups that are so are supposed to be collectively looking after our interest, they do not even question about it. We have off here off of Sable Island, we have in one area alone we have 3,000 tons of mustard gas. We went over to Iraq for 1,000 tons of mustard gas. Now Hunt Oil did an environmental assessment. There was three environmental assessments Hunt Oil did for the Public Review Commission for to do oil exploration activities off of Cape Breton. No, I don't. The one problem we had with that is the first environmental assessment in the Public Review Commission, they said there was a few dumps. But the second environmental assessment was done after the Public Review Commission, and then, of course, most people know that there was a ad hoc committee set up with who's who of all the you know, fisheries and all the so-called great environmental organizations and things. In that environmental assessment, they said there was 17,000 tons of mustard gas, 7,000 tons of lewisite, and 2 to 3 barge loads of nerve gas in one of their lease areas alone off of Cape Breton, off of Sydney, in Sydney Bight. Now, that's pretty hard to take as a person that lives down there. Since that time, the research that we've done, we went to Europe and we've spoken to all the experts in Europe on it. I've been quite astounded to see that right now the Canadian government says that we got them $15 million national defense to look into this this problem here. The problem's been here, and it was supposed to have been addressed in 1984 when Transport Canada was laying a cable from Halifax here to Newfoundland, and they almost ran into a big one out here in the offshore. As we sit right now in the seats, I wish you guys go out and have seafood tonight. A lot of our crab have dual sex. All our fish are getting cancerous lesions. Absolutely no one, fisheries, environmental groups, no one is talking about it because they're scared as hell because they won't get their damn funding. I'm going to be a little nasty here, so I'll apologize only once. I'm a little sick of people saying they represent the views of all of us Canadians. We had 7 scientists and we had some environmentally conscious people, one of which was the Sierra Club. They all said no further action was required on the military dump sites. Well, I presented to the Senate in September last, and I had just got some privacy requests in. Whatever you do, never write for access to information. They're not worth a damn. Go for the privacy ones. They're the ones that are worth some teeth. In the privacy request that came back to us, one interesting thing was that the WAD committee is set up. It's a WAD project. It's made up with Foreign Affairs, Defense, Environment, DND, Natural Resources, Health. Their conclusions in their preliminary findings were that the dumps out off our coast are a high risk to human health and the marine environment, and that they feel it's killing all the fish on the East Coast. Now, why the hell hasn't the media picked that up? Did you ever hear it, anybody in this room? That's right, it's in black and white on paper. And it comes from their departments, and nobody here discusses it. Our environmental groups sit on their ass, back in rooms that they get paid for, I guess, and I'm going to be a little nasty. But I really do believe, I have brothers that fish in waters out there, that the crab all have dual sex in one area, all of them. My brother has a 120,000-pound quota. He got one female crab this year. The rest were last year. All were dual sex. In some areas, all the crab that you get are phosphorescent. They all light up at night. It's kind of exciting when you're sitting down at a table for that, to think about it. We have problems that nobody seems to want to address. Nobody wants to look at the real big issue of this problem now. The European scientists are quite proactive in their mode of operations. We've been lobbying, if you call it lobbying, the Department of National Defense and the Government of Canada, because with an order in Parliament in 1943, the Government of Canada allowed the dumping at sea. So basically, the full and all the responsibility lies with the Government of Canada, us. So therefore, think of this proactively. An oil company, that's a dump. An oil company has a lease around that dump, including that dump. They say they want to do seismic testing and test well drilling and oil exploration activities right on top of that dump. Now, under the Chemical Weapons Convention, which we are a signatory, there's a big gray spot there that we're really not supposed to be dicking around with that area. We're asking, and we have been asking for the last 12 years, that all these areas be put off in exclusion zones and that there be buffer areas around them because of drift. And I'll be very frank, what's out there, we can't clean up. It's going to haunt us the rest of our lives and probably our children's children. And as far as the lady was saying about the depleted uranium and stuff, yeah, we have lots of shells out there and things like that. The shells were put there by not the Americans only, but by our military as well. We have 36 nuclear dumps out off our coast. A lot of them are from the Cold War. We have the active ones that we're looking at, and the chemical and biological ones. The military is looking at 1,200. We're looking at 100 and some because they're the ones that are close to geographical areas that we're concerned about. The whole process is very interesting because the big dump off of Sable, we have 3,000 tons of mustard. That's a documented site. National Defense was denying it was there until I bought the film. 20th Century Fox had the film of it, of them dumping it in 45. Now, when I played it to them, then they had to eat their shoe and just go for it. But the facts that that's entered the marine environment now. It's entered the benthic system. The Europeans are saying that it's slowly entering the food chain. Now, what we're looking at now is you can phone up Department of Fishery and Oceans. In my personal opinion, Department of Fishery and Oceans is the most corrupt department in all of Canada and has been for many, many years. They know what's out there. In our first petition, this is quite interesting, they said they didn't know anything about plutonium, uranium, or the military dumps. When I did under the Privacy Act and I got all their emails and stuff, they had depleted uranium files. They had files on plutonium. They have files on everything. But yet they didn't have it at first, and they couldn't answer the government of Canada at first. So the point that I'm trying to make is here, you can't give up. Michael and I do 20 hours a week on this every week. We both have families. We are determined. We do not go away. We don't give a hell who is with us or who's against us. We're going for it. And it takes a long time, but it is working. I find what isn't working is in this province. We have nothing working here. Our province should be proactive in looking at, nobody's crying about, some of our environmental groups is trading this area for this area. Oh, stay away from that area, but you're allowed to take what you want in that area. Well, I'm sorry, there's no treaties with us. Every place has to be looked at properly, every place has to be investigated properly, and we have to see exactly what each dump in particular is going to do to us. The dumps are quite different because you can have, especially with mustard gas, and I must say, mustard gas actually collects to your DNA, and it predisposes the next generation. We have, where I live, in Cape Breton, where I was born, actually, is on the southeastern side of the island. We have the highest cancer rate in men, in prostate and colon cancer in North America, not Canada, North America. Wilfrid Laurier University just done a study for us after they heard us speaking at the Senate, and they were completely shocked in men. In women, it's colon and ovarian. Then I went to Newfoundland, I went to Scotland, I went to a lot of European countries, and I checked where the dumps were in relationship to the fish and the people's health. And as far as the rest of it, like everybody would say to us, well, how much do you care about oil and gas exploration? Well, yeah, I do care a lot about oil and gas exploration, but we're not only asking for oil and gas exploration to cease, we're asking for our fishing to cease, deep sea diving, recreational diving, all that stuff in these areas. People have to stay away from them. Because I talk to folks every week, and everybody's mucking around with these sites. We had last year, DFO did a crab study. They left Canso, and they went as far as Shetty Camp, all around the outside of Cape Breton. They used an illegal drag that's illegal under the act. They didn't tell people, it was going into the subsoil a bit to try and get the small crab. Then media never picked that up. They didn't give a shit. Then they actually found all kinds of bombs and shells. They told their crew to throw them the hell overboard and not say a word. It's wonderful. We have a great system in place here in Canada. It takes a lot of us a lot of time to do what we have to do. I do it strictly because I have two children that I care for a great deal, and all my friends' children and everybody around me. And I think that we all have to stand up and really get at whatever we're doing a lot. The problems with the mustard gas is that you can't clean it up. It's there. As soon as you go touch it, because we had three different dumping practices, after, like, you had people like Banting, great saint to all of us, yeah, right. You should see what he was doing at McGill and at the University of Toronto and read his papers, his war diaries. It'll shock the hell out of you. Because the man on one side was killing people, on the other side he was taking the old plants and using them to develop insulin. You know, all the leftover stuff from the mustard gas, they turned it into Agent Orange. It's just, when you start researching it, and the more information you get, it just gets you more pissed off at what they've been doing. And you know, we all say they're heroes in our life, and I really don't think so, because right now, if we think it's that these dumps are only here off of Atlantic Canada, you guys that live on the West Coast, you best start thinking, boys. And also in Ontario, around the Great Lakes, the lady was saying about the caribou and stuff, the dew line, sorry, I wouldn't live there if life depended on it. I'd rather die. We have in Chalk River, where they had the big nuclear facility, you know, when we told National Defense that we had the film and then we showed it to them, and they, oh yeah, okay, you found it, we dumped it off there. All of a sudden, we found documents that they had buried a bunch of it up at Chalk River. And there's some down in Quebec and all over the place. They just kept dumping it wherever the hell they wanted. Because what they did was the government of Canada set out a guideline of what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to 20 miles out and stuff like that, in deep water away from all fishing ports. At the time where they're dumping this thing, all the fishermen in the East Coast were protesting in 45. And my father was telling me about it. He was a fisherman at the time. But the military said, don't worry, boys. It's not going to hurt your fish or you. Well, you know what? It come back, and we're getting it now. When you talk to DFO now and you ask them, well, you know, with the downturn in the fisheries and you closing all the fisheries, why aren't the fish coming back? And, you know, these brainwaves we got over here at the Bedford Institute will tell you, well, you know, that overfishing, it's still not stopping. Bullshit. The overfishing is only part of the problem. Cod do not stay on the top of the water. They stay down near the benthic system at the larval stages. And in 2002, I think it was, Department of Fishery and Oceans, in their wisdom, put out a piece in the Halifax Herald on Boxing Day. And it was they were really baffled that something was killing. There was the mortality rate in cod and haddock was 50 to 60% in the larval stages. Well, I phoned up and I said, Jesus, you know, there's not that many fish that are actually, you know, fishing for larval stages of cod or haddock. So what's happening there? So then what we did was we got our charts, and we got the charts out. We're all like, there's, out of the 1,200 sites that are out there, there's eight of them that are charted. Not all on civilian charts. We have a group here with the Department of National Defense in Halifax that most people don't know. They're called Formation Environment. They're like the little black boys for the unit that does all the environmental part of the studies. And when they first heard about me, they came up and we had interviews and all that stuff. But then they're charting all the sites. And I must say, Department of National Defense is actually looking more proactive than any other department. Like health says, we don't know anything about it. Community. community, and we were discussing, actually I was the only non-native there. I got invited by one of the elders to come and sit in to hear. When the DFO rep that was giving the talk, seeing me there, was a little shocked, but he kept saying about all the fish, the American flounder, were dying in this deep hole. And I said, well, yeah, that's kind of nice. But I said, you know, what's kind of funny about that? There's a common denominator here. The American flounder is dying in another place off of Sable Island. Well, that's the two places where the American flounder are. The boats, it's one species, they never mix. One never leaves the Bador Lakes, and one never leaves from out here off of Sable to go into the Bador Lakes. So you got two separate groups of fish. They both are doing the same thing. Their biomass is going, the fish are dying, the egg production's gone. Things like that is something that the media and all of us should be looking into very closely. I ate fish every day of my life. I very seldom eat fish anymore. All my brothers fish. My people have been fishing here for 200 and some years. It's quite shocking when you go into a meeting, like the Public Review Commission was kind of exciting. On one hand, when we were, Michael and I were presenting on these dumps, you had the fishing and environmental lobby, and on the other hand, you had the industrial and the oil lobby, and we come up and you're thinking, well, Jesus, you know, shouldn't some of them be really interested in what we're saying? Because it impacts all of us. Well, the only people, and this is the truth, the only people that asked for our information was the construction lobby. That really showed me where we're going in this country. They were concerned about their health, which I'm really proud of. And they, to this day, they have still kept in contact with us, got all the information from us as we went. We have never, ever got a call from the environmental organizations. Matter of fact, most of them hate us. Then we've the fishermen, and I can understand why, possibly in one weird way. My brothers all fish. They just tell me that they will not go public because it'll ruin their industry. Because what public wants to eat something that they think is going to be infected with some kind of cancer-causing agent? We have other issues that we have to deal with. Is the way the we deal with issues in this country, like you say, disinformation. We have to demand from the people that are doing the interviews with us or that are carrying information that we gather, that the information, number one, be correct. Number one, that if they put something in that you didn't say, you get right on their ass and just give it to them and do not allow it to happen the second time. Most people don't do that. The information that you read online, and I shouldn't say I read it online, but people give it to me online. Okay. Yeah, I talk a lot. But the main, it's not really media here that's bugging me. It's, I can tell this room full of people, I came up, I took 2 days off work when the Pugwash convention was happening here, and I asked a full room of scientists to help us. I never had one person even ask me one damn thing. I was shocked. When we have off our coast here possibly the largest collection of military dumps in the world, and nobody is doing a darn thing about it. They're doing a little bit here and there. $15 million. If I wanted to put a hotel resort in down in my community, I could get $15 million like that. $50 million is nothing. To man one of DND's own ships to go out there is $650,000 a day. Now, they did go into the Bador Lakes. They asked me to be on board their boats to check the ship. I would not go because I'm not a scientist. I researched. That's it. We asked. We sent them a very nice letter and said, listen, here's a list of European scientists that will gladly come over and go with you. They know what to look for. We don't. You know, we might know our stuff, but we don't really... I've never used a computer in my life. But there's things like that that we have to really keep horning home about all the time, that this out here, we better start looking at it because the fish are dying. And there is absolutely no questions what's doing it. It's there. It's our responsibility to make sure that our politicians, it was really funny. We were given a politician all kinds of information because, you know, we thought, well, we didn't care who the party was. He was giving it to a group trying to make work program. They were trying to get government grant to it was disgusting when we found out there was a group from United States coming up to clean up the mustard gas in the Bedore Lakes and around Cape Breton when you can't clean it up. You know, that's how bright people really are. Anyhow, that's about what I'm into, and our organization, we just call ourselves Miles and Associates because nobody ever listened to us until we went to the public review and we put the associates on the back. It's kind of sick. You know, and if you're not a member, and I'm going to tell you this, if you're not a member of an organization like an environmental group, you can forget it. They don't listen to you, even them. And that's really sad. Because we have to, if we're in this, we're all in it together. So we took an option that we don't blame people, except DFO, but we try not to blame people for what happened out there. Like retired military guys will phone you up crying on the phone that we put it there, you know, and saying, well, Jesus, we didn't know. One bunch of Corvettes came over because what most people in this room don't really realize, but during the Second World War, we had a complete line of chemical and biological warfare agents ready to use at any time. And I mean a large amount. More. That's why the Germans never used theirs. Read the Banting Papers. Because ours were far superior, and the way the wind was blowing and the amount we had basically would do them over. So we took all ours back, and we dumped them off my coast. One shipment alone, the lads were telling me, they dumped 25 Corvettes. They made human chains, lines from the hull of the ship to the side and just dumped everything overboard. It's totally ridiculous. And to think that we're in 2004, now this is the weird thing. In 1984, the then Ginger Stone in Department of National Defense was questioned by Transport Canada about it, and there was supposed to be a public inquiry. I got just 2 days ago that, yeah, they did do some research, but it wasn't really, it was just preliminary. But we're 2004 now, and they're absolutely no further ahead. And that stuff there is getting, because, and I'm going to take one more minute whether you like it or not. The main thing is, most of our mustard gas and stuff, like in Germany, they would put mustard gas about maybe a quarter into their shells and the rest TNT and stuff like that. We were a little nastier here in Canada. We put 50% mustard gas and 50% TNT in all of our shells that were developed in Cornwall. And the interesting part about ours is that why it's so concerning to the Europeans right now is that the British had developed an agent, a rust-retardant agent then, that was, they coated the inside and the outside of shells. And that's the problem, because they're just starting to leach now. The barrels that were dumped with the train loads off of Sable, that's all silted over now, and it's all leached out into the environment. And the big dumps of stuff off of the Laurentian sub-base and stuff, that's, but the shells are the problem, because there's 20% of all shells in the Canadian military in the Second World War had chemical and biological agents. 25% in the First World War. Now, think about that for one quick minute, and we dumped it, most of it at sea. And a lot of the dumps that I found on my charts, like I had a chart that my father had for some reason, how I got into this, was that it wasn't on any other chart. And National Defense didn't have it, Environment Canada, Fisheries, nobody had this particular chart, and I don't know how Dad got it, but it showed a big dump out in the Laurentian Basin, and it was a, and then we tracked that one. And what we also have to realize here in Canada is that Newfoundland wasn't part of Canada. Newfoundland was American, basically. It was British owned, but the American ran Newfoundland during the war. They had six bases there. Argentia was the largest naval base in the North Atlantic, and they dumped everything at sea, off of Newfoundland, the Grand Banks, Whale Back, Argentia Harbors, Placentia. It's full, all of it. And everybody knows. It's kind of ridiculous to see off of Prince Edward Island, Grand Manan up here, wouldn't go swimming up there. It's quite interesting that you also see, like when the oil and gas exploration activities were going on for George's Banks, if you read their documentation, there's not one single word about the five military dumps that are around that area. Not one word. And you had some chief scientists in this country that helped on that. That's alarming to me and quite shocking, because of the fact that, here, I got my grade 12. And we're classified by National Defense now, Michael and I, as 2 of the 15 experts in the country on this crap, which we asked them to take our names off of this stupid record because you don't really know what it's for. But to have all these so-called smart people writing reports and not indicating the responsibility that they have with that report. The new Oceans Act doesn't mention it. The new Fisheries Act doesn't mention it. But if you read the Fisheries Act, section 35 to 37, it clearly states the responsibility is to protect the health of the fish and the sea environment and the fishermen. So I'll leave on that. Thank you.